Okay, thank you. Hi everyone, I'm Jocelyn. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thanks for asking me over. It's an honor. God, please take away my fear. Take away my ego. Have me set aside everything I think I know. About you, about myself, about others, about my own recovery. So I may have an open mind and a new experience with all of these things. Please help me see the truth. I did ask if I could read a bit out of the big book, and I was told, yes, that's absolutely fine. So I'll read the end of the story, a late start. Page 400 and like 543 is the last paragraph. It's been 10 years since I retired, 7 years since I joined AA. Now I can truly say that I am a grateful alcoholic. Had I not become a drunk, I would have become another sober but sad statistic. At 75, I would be a lonely, unproductive old woman, watching TV, doing needlepoint in my home with our friends, and sinking further and further into an old age depression. As it is, AA has filled my days with friends, laughter, growth, and the feeling of worth that is rooted in constructive activity. My faith in and contact with my higher power shines more brightly than I dreamed it could. Those promises I thought were impossible are viable force in my life. I am free to laugh all of my laughter, free to trust and be trusted, free to both give and receive help. I am free from shame and regret, free to learn and grow and work. I have left that lonely, frightening, painful express train through hell. I have accepted the gift of a safer, happier journey through life. And I'll come back to that, but let me go back to the beginning. I haven't been in recovery. It'll be 4 years next month since I went to my first OA meeting. And I know now, I understand now that, yeah, I probably was, I came out a compulsive overeater for sure, because I've had this from the get-go. And I, through other work that I'm doing, I now understand that, where even before I came into this world, there were things happening around me that meant all I needed, all I wanted was some sort of safety, some sort of coping mechanism. And as soon as I could, I found food. And food became my coping mechanism. I mean, later in my life, other things got added to it, but food has always been the constant. And as it says it many times in the big book, it only gets worse. It never gets better. And as a kid, I was eating more than I should. I was stealing food. As a teenager, I was stealing money to buy food. As a young adult, I was stealing food from people I was living with. And there was, and all this time that felt, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I just did it. And it was what I did. I can look back at my family now and see that, there's also this element that it's a generational thing. Because I look at my family, my mom, bless her soul, she's not anymore, but even though it might not have been compulsive overeating, who that killed, that ended her life. She definitely was. And I now have aunts and uncles, and it's just, it runs in our family. I have gained consciousness of that, and finding the rooms have been a saving grace for me. And I'm grateful for that rock bottom. I'm grateful for that moment where I just gave up, and there was nothing else to do. I have that, I mean, we talk about insanity when it, I have done some insane things around food. Whether I've spoken about stealing and hiding and all of that before. But the level of dishonesty as well with it, the level of I would think, okay, of his food, and I want to hide, I want to, but that dishonesty, that level of it is so deep in my being that I would look you straight in the face, and even without having any reason to be dishonest with you, I'll still choose dishonesty. And that is the core, the nature of my disease. It has, over the years, just stripped me from any sense of how to function in this thing called life. And I have lived 41 plus years of it before I found the rooms. My history, I said I was probably born. I didn't have, I wouldn't, I couldn't have turned out any other way, because around me was chaos when I was born. Before I was born, the circumstances of my pregnancy and all of it meant there was a lot of trauma that I was subjected to right from the get-go, and then the abandonment that came after I was born, and all of that, all I wanted was just something to soothe me. And I found it. However, I am in recovery now. In the big book, it says, I think it's, I think it talks about the simplicity of it. But also, it might be simple, but it's not easy. It my recovery, the way I work it, has evolved. It started from, my first sponsor telling me, "Oh, send me a gratitude list at the end of the day, every day," which I frowned upon, but I did it anyway. And it built, and it built, and it built. And the more I did it, the more I'm realizing, I mean, this is not just helping me to have some sanity around food. It's also teaching me how to do life like I've never known before, like I've never experienced before. So my strength in recovery today, and is every day to the best of my ability, is I have routines that I don't negotiate around. I don't discuss. I don't think, "Oh, but I could skip this today." Someone says, when it comes to recovery, I don't have to do it perfectly, but I have to do it. And they have to do it for me this is what it looks like. I came into the room on 18th of April 2020. From the 28th of April 2020, the minimum of meeting a day I do is one, and I've kept that up all this time, at least one recovery meeting every day. And with time, I realize it's the amount I get out of each meeting, whether it's from the literature. Those we just read at the beginning of this meeting, that welcome home still takes me to a place where I feel my inner child is being taken care of. And that feeling to get in every meeting I go to kept me coming back, made me realize I need to do this every single day and one day at a time. I don't have to. I mean, someone had told me, when I came in, you have to go to a meeting every day. I would say, get on your bike. I'm not doing that. But today, you don't have to ask me. It's just what I do. I know that my wellness sits in these rooms every day. I've worked the steps. I did them the best of my ability. I'm still working them through working, taking sponsors through the steps. I pray every day. Do I do it perfectly? No. But one other thing I've learned in recovery is that perfectionism has been a pain in my side all my life. It has stopped me over and over and over from doing anything. And today I understand that I don't have to let it ruin my recovery today. As I said before, I have to do it. I don't have to do it perfectly. And I'm usually humbled what I can get from a sponsee when I'm working the steps with them, even though I have worked the steps. And that's the ever giving nature of recovery for me. I'm finding the more I do it, the more I get out of it. I have three things that I always have on my recovery, on my gratitude list every day. I'm grateful. At the end of the day, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for the gift of recovery, and I'm grateful for my abstinence, imperfect abstinence. And those I need to acknowledge on a daily basis because what they are giving me is more than I came into these rooms for. We have so many slogans in these rooms, and that one day at a time, if I didn't hear it at the beginning, I probably wouldn't be still here. I am the type, I'll project, I'll be in the future, I'll see how it all gonna pans out, down the line. But hearing I just need to do this one day at a time has kept me going, has kept me coming back. I came into recovery. I had religion. I had church. I was going to church every Sunday. I haven't been to church since I found recovery. Not by to make a statement of intentionally. It just so happened that. But I think what I'm realizing is I've never been closer to God's now in my life than I've been all them years going to church every Sunday. What the relationship I've got with God now, church didn't give me that, but these rooms have somehow. And that is something I cannot put a price on because my serenity, my peace of mind is sitting right at the center of that. Service, I came into this room. I was quiet. I didn't have my self-worth. I didn't have much confidence. I couldn't, the self-doubt, the imposter syndrome, all those feelings of inadequacy were just my life. And service in these rooms, one day at a time. Someone say, if you want self-esteem, do estimable things. And for me, service is very estimable, and it builds me up. And whenever I can, however I can, I do give service. And it's amazing how, none of this take life away from me. I do all of it, and I still have, I have a full-time job. I do life. I travel. I get on with life, but I still somehow find time for recovery, and like the best I can. And it's just so humbling. I certainly came in. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to just get a grip on my food issue. And probably I'll say, see you later. That was the plan. But I quickly realized there's more here than meets the eyes. Yes, the weight came off, but it's not even the thing that I really got from these rooms. From these rooms, I've got a blueprint. I think there's a line in the big book as well, a blueprint of how to do life. Life is certainly not, rainbows and sunshine. It certainly is not. But when life, I think when life is doing life thing, I just have tools now. Tools that I have picked up in these rooms. Tools that I've picked up in these literatures. Tools that I've picked up from fellows that just guide me. And these too shall pass. Whether is no matter how hard it get, it passes. And that is what is keeping me coming back. I still have body image. That's I still deal with that every day. It's still an issue for me, and it's something that I want to get better at. But right now, it's not fully gone. I'm better. Progress, not perfection, and all that. But the fact that I can navigate life, I can say no because I mean to say no. I can say yes because I mean to say yes. I can say, I don't know and not crumble. These are the things that recovery is teaching me. And to think my food addiction brought me here, go
Gentle
figure.
reminder.
Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. For my hope, I'll go back to that story I read before. Everything that a woman wrote there. The first time I read it, I just burst into tears because I know it to be true. I know that I have lived it. I know that I am living it. And the absolute beauty of it is the fact that there's no ending to it as long as I want it. There's no, you've got all you can now. That's it. There's no more. More will be revealed. There's always more. That I can always grow more. I can always heal more. And yeah, that is my hope. Hope to keep coming back. Hope to keep willing to show up to do it the best I can. And I've had the proof. God's shown me that if I do it, I'm gonna get by. I'm gonna get through. I'm gonna be able to do life. And that's ultimately what I'm getting here. A way to do life that nothing else has taught me. No therapy, no counseling, nothing has been able to give me that, but these rooms have, and I am very grateful for it. Yeah, vanity brought me, sanity is keeping me, and I am very grateful for it. I'll pass.